Welcome to the Pineapple Lives podcast. I hope that you'll enjoy the show.
Thank you, Katie, for coming on the podcast. Yeah. I appreciate you for the time that you've taken out to meet with me today. Like I was saying before our podcast, I love your macaroons. They're amazing. It's so good. Like you're saying, they're made with love. So I just can't wait to learn more about your story and how you got here today. I guess it's like a little guest intro talking about who you are, your company, how you got here today. Give us the whole story.
Okay, so my name is Katie Chambers. A little bit about myself. I'm Puerto Rican from Boston, Massachusetts, born and raised. I entered the Army when I was 19, and I went in as a cook. So all my life, I wanted to become a chef. My grandma cooks, my mom cooks. So that was my passion. Before I went into the military, I was going to school for pharmacy tech, more for my mom because, she works in radiation oncology. So, she always was like, well, if you become a pharmacist, you can make good money. And, you do it for your moms all the time,
Yeah.
So I always wanted to become a chef. So when I got the opportunity to go into the military as a cook, I took it. I deployed 3 times to Iraq, and I met a lot of people. And about 7.5 years into it, I just, was suffering from a lot of depression, PTSD. So I was medically retired out of the military. At that time, Randy was deployed in Afghanistan, my husband. And we would talk and I would tell him that I wanted to own a bakery. And it was going to be called Katie Sweet Treats. And we would sell cupcakes and stuff like that. So then I started, I came up with a plan before I got out. And I was looking at culinary schools in Boston, and I came across Le Cordon Bleu, and I applied and I got in using my GI Bill, and I took full advantage of the curriculum, and I really fell in love with food as a whole when I went into Le Cordon Bleu because you have a passion for it and it goes into your food. So you see how everything is made, the story behind it, and stuff like that. So in my baking course, we had a chef come from Le Cordon Bleu Paris and he taught us how to make macarons. And I was just like, wow, I was just so fascinated that I took all the recipes I received in that 9 weeks and I was creating them at home. And so then I started a little hustle business in Boston and I would make cakes for my friends and things like that. And it was good, And so after that, I went into a externship at a catering business and I became the executive sous chef after my externship was over. And, I love the hustle. I love the long hours and just the money was good, but it wasn't my passion. So after that, I just told, we bought a house here in Fredericksburg and we moved here and I started working for a bakery here and I was in love with it. It was just like, the type of leadership that I wanted to, that I've known in being in the military and also having the family like at work and stuff like that. I just didn't find it and I wasn't happy. So I told my husband that I wanted to open up a bakery and I wanted to make French macarons because it was a niche for us. It was something that Fredericksburg didn't have. Like they had, cafes and stuff like that, that made French macarons, but not to the extent that what we were going to be doing. So, and that's when we just put our heads together, came up with ideas on how to put ourselves out there because, we're new. We were new to Fredericksburg. We didn't know anybody. Yep. And so that's what drove us was to the exposure to get out there and to put ourselves out there and our name and our brand and really, you know, grasp that the demographics here and really take advantage of the fact that there wasn't a French bakery here and stuff like that. Because everybody, there's cupcakes everywhere. You know, you could find cupcakes Definitely. Everywhere, but you don't find French macarons in Fredericksburg.
No, I totally agree. Like when I heard that y'all were open, I was like so excited. I thought y'all were going to be downtown. I was like, finally, some diversity. Because, like, you have just Popping that just opened up about a year ago. And then you have Mondays and then y'all. So I'm like that was like all the diversity in downtown.
Flavor to Fredericksburg.
Exactly. That's what we need.
Yeah.
So funny enough, I was born in Boston.
Oh,
so
yeah?
my social is like a 018.
Nice.
I remember, and I was also in the Army. I mean, I remember my Army dentist, he recognized, like, yeah, you're from New England by my social. I'm like, that's a weird fact to know.
I know, right?
But yeah. So I remember because, like, I had to go to the dentist that day. And, like, and he was like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I didn't go back to see him.
Yeah,
but...
I know, right? Like, okay.
But, yeah, no, I was a 31 Bravo, so military police.
Oh, nice.
So that's what I did. Fortunately, I didn't deploy. Y'all did all the hard stuff leading the way for guys like me. But thank y'all for your service as well.
Yeah, thank you.
But let's just jump right into questions.
All right.
What has been your biggest failure and what have you learned from it?
So for me, I don't have any failures. I think I live my life through experiences, I guess. I think that when you define failure, it's because you didn't try hard enough. Because if I was to say, I want to open up a business, then I'm going to try my hardest not to fail. You know, mm-hmm. along the ways, you're going to have struggles and stuff like that. But those are, I guess, lessons learned and you do better the next time. But I don't have any failures.
I agree. I feel like that's a good way to look at it. I've talked to other people so far. I mean, I've interviewed a couple other people. So the episodes haven't been released yet, but but from I've heard other people say that as well. It's kind of like, I guess, a rolling failure. It's like, okay, not really. What can I learn from it?
Yeah.
And then how do I move on? Not trying to, like, because some people, they dwell on it too much and they get stuck.
Yep.
And they can't move on from it. So it's almost like they're like quicksand, sticky glue kind of thing. And it's the mindset.
Yeah, if you always base your goals on that one thing that wasn't the outcome that you expected, then of course you're going to define it as a failure, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you learn from it and you keep it moving, keep it pushing, you know, that's when your achievements start to show.
We all know this. I feel like, especially military personnel in general, like, one of the things we have to do is always adapt and overcome, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the mission always changes.
Yep.
It never goes as planned.
Yep.
So I think that's definitely, I feel like, one place where veterans as entrepreneurs have an advantage, because I feel like normal people don't understand that, or they can't really do it per se.
We were already structured not to fail. You know what I mean? Like, we got a mission, you know, and it's like you complete this task, and the goal was not to fail. So
exactly.
I think that being in the military has structured me into not failing.
Definitely, you know, I think that's a great mindset to have, and I feel like we're a different breed. So
definitely,
especially because, like, I know myself being like a child of immigrants, because both my parents, they come from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I still have Boston, a family in Boston, not Boston family. But, like, a little of my parents are out there visiting my grandma now. But, like, we're first-generation Americans, and my dad was in the Army as well. So it's like, it's almost like we have, like, the can't-fail mentality.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing I feel like that helps differentiate us.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially, like, entrepreneurs with a diverse background.
Yeah. Yep.
So... who are three people that have been the most influential in your life, and why?
I would have to say, obviously, my mother. My mom, she raised four kids on her own as a single mom. And she had help by my grandma. But just seeing her hustle and drive, we grew up in Roxbury, I'm pretty sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
about Roxbury. So we grew up in the projects, mm-hmm. and my mom just didn't want that for us. She didn't want that life for us. And so we moved to the suburbs of High Park in Rosendale area. Okay. And she bought her first house. It was a 3-family house. I think it was like when I was 7. And just seeing her, you know, the house was like a wreck when she bought it. But, you know, seeing her pour her heart and soul into creating something for us, you know, has always been in the back of my mind every time I do something, you know, and creating macarons, creating flavors and stuff like that. I always think of her, you know, and the way, you know, her drive pushed her to become, want us to become better, you know, people and stuff like that. So I have to say that my mom was one of my biggest inspirations. Another inspirational person I would have to say is my husband. I mean, I am the creator of the macarons, but he's like the one that drives me, you know, like it's hard, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a yep. chef, you know, having employees and stuff like that. And just, you know, I like to define myself as a perfectionist, because if something does not come out right or to my standard, I toss it. I throw it away. You know, I don't even want to mess with it. Nothing, you know. And so having my husband with his financial background has been a blessing, because I mean, all I want to do is bake. You know, and he's the one that's like, you know, we got a budget. And, you know, so having him teach me about, you know, being financial free, having financial freedom, and why is it that we do this and why is it that we do that, you know, has been a lifeline for me, you know. And he's inspired me to want to do better, being an entrepreneur and having a business and learning more about that aspect. Because you know you're Haitian, you know, you grew up as your dad probably being the provider, right? And your mom exactly. at home. Yeah. And so it's like when you become an entrepreneur as a female, people expect you to, I guess, not fail, but depend on a man. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Yep, that's true.
It's like me being Puerto Rican and, you know, being very independent. I had to really lean on him to teach me, you know. And so, like, I'm always grateful and appreciative for the things that he has taught me and, you know, where we're at right now. Because if it wasn't for him and his lessons, then, you know, there wouldn't be a sweet basil macarons. You know, it would just be an idea still, because, yep. you know, I have the power to create, but he also has the power to teach.
That's good. That's a good word.
Yeah. So, he's been a big inspiration in this journey. I don't think I have a third person. I think my family as a whole has been inspirational to me, because like my siblings and stuff like that, because we all come from different career backgrounds. My sister works for the state, you know, my brother's a mechanic, and my other brother, he's going to school for electrical work and stuff like that. But we've always been career goal oriented, you know, and pushing forward, and we feed off of each other, you know. So if I'm doing something that inspires them and makes them want to do something that you know will inspire somebody else, you know what I mean? So my sister, she received her master's in Homeland Security last year, and she's a single mother with 2 kids, and, you know, she still works for the state, you know. So that hustle and drive has always been embedded in us and stuff like that. And my brother, you know, he just took his firefighter test and he passed. So, you know, it's just my family, my husband, and my mother have been the most inspirational people in my life.
That's awesome, because funny enough, so you mentioned Rosendale. Yeah. Literally, my parents are there right now yeah. with my grandma. That's where she is. Yeah. That's where my aunt lives. My aunt and uncle live there as well. Other ones as well. So literally, where'd you go most to of my school? Family. I went to school here and like locally, because okay. we grew up here. Because that's where my dad kind of settled when he got out of the army.
Okay.
But prior to that, I was born at like St. Elizabeth Hospital. I think it got destroyed like at some point. We grew up going like spending our summers up in Boston visiting our grandma, or like she'll come down here every now and then or every other year or something like that. But we grew up like there was this one Haitian bakery.
Yeah.
In Mattapan.
Yeah, Mattapan Square. Yep. I think it's still there too.
It is. Yeah. They have the most amazing patties.
Yep.
We always get a box whenever we go up there. We take a box home.
Nobody knows, though. Nobody knows.
Nope. Shh, it's a secret. Yeah. Let's keep it that way.
Yep, it's still there. Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly I love Boston. It's a great city.
It is.
I mean.
But it's expensive now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Cause like, it was cool. I mean, yes, we went there over the summers to kind of see how it's changed over time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like, yes, we've seen definitely how it's changed.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what's one thing you wish you knew when you started the business?
I think one thing I wish I knew was to be more financial savvy. I think that's the biggest thing. I didn't take advantage of the TSP when I was in the military.
Really?
You know, So it was just like, I wish that. That whole time that I was in, I would have took advantage of, you know, my finances. And I think more so, I was never, another thing was that I was never into going to school. You know, like, I'm hands-on type of person. Like, that's why that's why I enjoyed culinary school so much. So, because it's, you know, it's a trade, you know, it's a trade, mm-hmm. it's a trade, and you pick things up, you know, you work with your hands, and I've never been that person to just sit down and read and write and do all this papers and all that stuff. So I think those two things, I wish I would have worked harder in the military, like taking advantage of the TSP and also taking advantage of the schooling.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I had my awakening too, because as an MP, you kind of, I mean, we have a little writing, a little bit of everything. And that's where I learned to appreciate, like, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to go to school when I get out. So, like, I have my degree in business from Mary Watt UW. Mm-hmm. So, literally a local kid. I went to, like, school in Stafford, went to college here. And then I did about a year of an online MBA program when I realized I don't really like it as much. So now I'm just taking a year to focus on getting my master's in finance.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm like kind of like rediscovering a love for academia and education, and kind of just like realizing, yes, the pen and paper is important. Because before, if you asked me in high school, I'm like, oh, sports or life?
Yeah. Ball is life.
Yes, ball is life, literally. Like for me, it was lacrosse, which I know is like big in Boston and everything. But like, it wasn't going to be like, I mean, it's not, lacrosse is big, but it's also not like you're going to go pro or anything. Yeah. Like, it really doesn't make, you're not going to make the big bucks or anything. So,
like,
at some point, you have to grow up.
Something like that.
Yep, exactly. Like, you have to go play overseas or whatever. So, I'm like, that's what Army came in because after high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So, it was either Army, trade school, or college.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the decision that my dad gave me. He's like, okay. And then two out of the three, I was like, they weren't appealing as much at the time. But looking back on it, like, I probably could have done the college and the route possibly. So I don't know.
I don't feel like the military was a regret, though. I learned a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I met amazing people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So I still talk to like most of the people I was served with, mm-hmm. like, you know, like I talk, not as much as like, you know, every day as before, but like every once in a while, you know, we have a good old like 2-3 hour call.
It's like that.
What does a typical work week look like for you?
Work week, busy.
I mean, hey, you're a baker. Yeah. Head baker in charge.
Yeah. So, typical work week. So today, usually Mondays, we're in the shop baking for the week. So with macarons, they taste better when they mature. So we make all of our shells on Mondays and Tuesdays, and we fill them on Tuesdays, and then they mature overnight in the freezer. And then Wednesdays is just hustling to get the shop open. It's coming in, you know, if I have to bake more stuff, more macarons, make buttercreams, you know, all these other desserts that we want to offer, brownies, cookie sandwiches, you know, I make those. I don't really have anybody coming in around on Wednesday and Thursdays. I like to take those days to focus on the things that I need to do as a boss, you know. If that's answering emails, answering DMs, sending invoices, you know, researching cake ideas, you know, trends, what's on trend, you know, what can I bring to Fredericksburg that nobody else has here? So those things I'm always doing. My husband's like, you're it, you know, he's always like, you're the man, you know, like, you do like 15 things at one time. And it is, I'm like a little ping pong in the kitchen. And that's how my week is. And by Saturday, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like a struggle. And then Sunday, I just like to unplug. I don't post anything on Instagram. I don't answer emails. Because I feel like being in the military, your personal life gets taken from you, you know, your personal time. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's like, even though you're stationed somewhere and you had the freedom to chill with your friends and stuff like that, being a cook, you were working, you know, 6 days a week if it was your defects time to be open on the weekends. You know what I mean? So Sundays, I take that to be with my stepson, Jace, my husband. You know, I like to garden. I have my vegetable garden outside. I like to do some yard work and things like that. But a typical work week is pretty busy. I'm in there from 5 a.m. to sometimes 7 o'clock at night and just hustling. You know, I have four employees. We have four employees right now, you know, and teaching them, you know, training them. You know, we have a 14-year-old girl that wants to become a pastry chef, you know, so it's been good to also be a mentor as well. So a typical work week is pretty busy for me. I barely have time to do my hair. I did this in like 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
If you see me, I always lucky. Have a hat on.
Yeah. I feel like hats are the fix for everything.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, yeah. I guess for me, like, I mean, my hair is totally crazy now. This took me like, you know, like 20 minutes to make sure it was good enough and everything.
I had 15 minutes to do this and throw this dress on and hop on this camera. So it's pretty.
Oh my gosh. You look amazing though.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Because literally, I was like, because this morning I had an early morning flight coming from Tampa. So I was like, I've been up since like 4 a.m. And like, and that reminds me of like the early mornings of like when you used to do like PT and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta
I've been
wake
up this early in a long time.
Yeah, depending on where you live, if you live off post and the traffic.
Yep, exactly.
And what gate to go through.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was working gate guard rotation, like when I guess we had to, like, when I was at Carson, we had to at least have one MP on the gate.
I was at Carson too.
Really?
Yeah.
When were you at Carson?
2007 to 2010.
Oh, okay. I was at 2015. So yeah. That's okay. A little low, but I love Carson.
Yeah, I love Carson too. That was the best.
I mean, I love Colorado in general, but yeah. Like I'll go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
so actually, I was about to go to a school at UCCS.
Oh, nice.
Before, instead of going to UNW, but my dad was like, you should consider coming home, like, you know, have more of a support system. I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, like, I love Colorado, though.
Yeah.
Like, UCCS is such a cool campus. Mm-hmm. I've got a really hot girl who's a tour guide. I'm like, I want to stay here.
That's so funny.
But, and it came down to, like, all right, I miss being home. I miss, like, my mom, my dad, my sisters.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, and it's just, like, I can always go back to Colorado, so.
Yeah, you could always visit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, you work a hard week. Like my mornings usually start at like 9 a.m.
Yeah,
or maybe
my
like
mornings start early.
11.
Yeah, and now that we're gonna, you know, my husband wants me to work out with him now, so it's like trying to get into a routine and then head to the shop and bake and stuff like that. So it's gonna be it's gonna be earlier mornings, but I mean that's what it's all about. That's why you work so hard, right? To get to where you are. And just I think developing a routine is important, because it's not just about the business, you know. It's about taking care of yourself, your time, your me time, you know. Yep, so exactly. I have to learn how to step back, because my husband's like, I want to learn how to make cookies. I want to learn how to do stuff so I could help you, so you don't have to be at the shop all day. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to let go, you know.
Yep.
But as long as I'm there by his side and teaching him and stuff like that, I feel confident that he could do it.
Well, this is not one of the questions on the script, but like you talk about Randy a lot, like, and he's been your support system.
My baby.
How important is he to like the Sweet Measel team? Because it sounds like he's like y'all are, like the perfect complement to each other.
We feed off of each other. I mean, he's very important. I mean, he's my number one guy. I mean, it's my sidekick. Oh, yeah. So he'll come into the kitchen and be like, "What do you think about this flavor for this week?" Or he'll look up something on Instagram. He's like, oh, look at this. He's like, oh, we should do stuff like that. You know, so we feed off of each other. We give each other ideas, you know. Yeah. But like I said, it's kind of hard for me to be able to give in to doing those things that he wants, because I'm the chef. You know what I mean? So it's like... You know, I know what people will like and what people won't like, and, you know, but sometimes, you know, he's like, he has all these good ideas, and I just have to be confident in him, you know, that he's not gonna fail, you know, have that one item go to waste because it doesn't get bought or anything like that. So, you know, it's been a struggle for me a little bit to let go and let him do things and stuff like that, but he's always like... It's always a struggle in the kitchen for us when it's just me and him, because he wants to help out so much, you know. But I don't want him to get, you know, like our creme brulee macarons. They take, you know, you have to dip them in sugar, you know. And so, like, I know how to do that, but he doesn't, you know. And it's like, I don't want him to burn his fingers. And so he gets, like, upset. Like, why didn't you let me do it? And I'm like, okay, next time. So.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
It's like whenever I was younger and our mom was teaching us how to cook.
Yeah.
At first, she was like, always, she was like, no, get away.
Yeah,
and eventually she lets, like, you know, stand there and like watch and like learn.
Yep. So it's like kind of hard for me to let go a little bit. But, you know, in order for me not to be in there, you know, all day long, 16-hour days, 17-hour days, I have to let go a little bit and, you know, be confident that he's gonna take notes and make sure he knows how to do everything and stuff like that. So he's my number one guy. You know, he's over there probably grinning from ear to ear.
Oh, y'all have a beautiful relationship. That sounds like y'all have a great time. Yeah, and all the business. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, the greatest gift that this has brought me has been to be able to do it with, you know, my husband, the man that I love, and, you know, he's my partner. You know, it's not like that dynamic. You know, those couples that one's the man and one's the woman. You know, we're a team. You know, it's a team effort. You know, because at the end of the day, the mission is to be successful, right?
Exactly.
So as long as you're on the same page, that's all that matters.
Definitely. So what do you think is key to building a team? Because you have like 4 employees now, so, and plus you and Randy, so like it's a 6-person team.
Yeah. The key to building a good team is communication. That's my number one thing. And delegation. And it was one thing that I spoke to one of our employees about this past weekend, how I want her to be able to delegate, you know, because she's been with us for so long, and I want her to be able to, I guess, grow, you know, because, I mean, she's been with us for 4 years, you know, and I want her to be able to grow into becoming more of an asset to the business than just hands, you know. When you're in the military, you're just a number, You know, yeah, exactly. You're a number and a last name. You know what I mean?
Exactly, literally.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so it's like when with her, it's like I want her to be able to, she is an asset to me, but I want her to be able to open up and be able to delegate when I'm not there. So I think communicating that to her where it's not making her feel like she's defeated or anybody else for that matter, you know what I mean? So like I have my two front of the house employees, and then I have my baker in the back and another baker, but also differentiating the age gap, because she's one is 14 and the other one's in her late 20s. So it's like, you know, so it's like I gotta watch my mouth, you know. Yeah. I can't you know, so I gotta you know, I gotta communication, you know, and just speaking to them where you're not talking down to them, and you're just you are actually talking to them as if you are a part of a team, you know, making them feel like a team member, you know, because usually businesses around here, they also see you as just some hands, you know, and I want my employees to feel like their family, you know, like I ask them, hey, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend? How's your fam? You know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. How was your summer vacation? And, you know, Randy, he mentors, one of the employees that works for us in finances and teaches them about stocks and stuff like that. So we're really big on cohesion, you know, and mm-hmm. I want that.
Yep. That's like sounds like an amazing team, yeah. Especially the value of mentorship. I feel like most people don't value it as much. And I think that's like one of the biggest things is like to be able to like look behind and look forward, mm-hmm. but also be able to look present, like yep. to see where you're at, yep. and then find people who can kind of help you to in both directions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that with our, you know, everybody's new and everybody's getting to know each other. You know, we've only been open for a month. You know what I mean? So, as we branch out during the year and stuff like that, and we start getting bigger in the community and having a more of a presence in the community, I feel like communication and having that good relationship with your team is what's gonna drive your business to be successful. Because, you know, I want my business to run the same way as if I was there, if I'm not there, you know what yep. I mean? So having that open line of communication and delegation is important in my team.
That's awesome. I feel like open door policy is like the best policy because yeah, definitely. They won't have people be afraid. So
yeah, exactly. It's like just because I sign your checks doesn't mean you have to be scared of me, you know? Like
exactly. No, nope. You should be able to raise an issue.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, definitely. So what do you think the differences are between you and your competitors?
I think the difference between myself and my competitors, I feel like not a knock on Fredericksburg, but I feel like, you know, they're behind in the food world, you know, what's trending, culture-wise,
yep.
you know. So I feel like we have an advantage because, you know, we're Latina, Black-owned business, you know, and we just want to bring some other type of flavor to Fredericksburg. We just don't want to stick to the vanilla and the chocolate. You know, we want to be able to, it's for real, it's a fact.
It's the truth.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We want to be able to mix it up, you know, and sometimes it doesn't go as good as I think it's going to go, but you know, I know what I can bring to the table. You know what yep. I mean? So the difference between us is that we have over 100 flavors of macarons, and I can make anything. You know, I can make a bomb-ass cupcake, you know?
Yep. Exactly.
You know, and it's not, I don't limit myself. Our business, we don't limit ourselves to what we can do. A person comes in and they're like, I want a double-sided cake. And I'm like, okay, we're going to make it happen. I've never made a double-sided cake, but I'm going to make it happen. You know what I mean? So, you know, just just things like that. We don't, the difference between us and our competitors is that we don't limit ourselves to what we can do. You know, I feel like obviously you want to do what's at your capacity and stuff like that. But me, I like to push my limits and I like to see what I can do. You know, I never want to say like, oh, I can't do that. Or, you know, I always try to work around that and really educate myself on the things that I don't know, because I don't know everything about the pastry world. You know what I mean? Like a lot of customers are like, oh, when are you going to have bread? You know, and it's like, I learned how to make bread in culinary school, but it's not something that I'm striving to do right now. Right now, I'm just trying to grasp that macaron, you know, niche out there that isn't in Fredericksburg, you know, and then little by little, we'll be introducing new things and stuff like that.
I agree. I think that y'all are like the food evolution, that y'all are kind of the start of it.
Yeah.
Because hopefully, like, you know, I see a lot of empty shops downtown. And I'm like, I'm hoping we get more restaurants.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll be able to change.
More fusions, things, you know, like stuff you see in New York and you see in Boston and stuff like that. That's more of the vibe that I feel like is going to start coming to Fredericksburg, because with everything that's going around, you know, people, the new VA hospital that's going up and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that,
that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. And you want to be able to be that trend setting town in Virginia. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's already historic. So it's like, all right, let's push the notch a little bit, you know?
Exactly. Because I feel like Richmond already kind of like, it's our little culinary capital with beer and food and everything. Yep. So why can't Fred be like, no, because like DC has its own vibe. Mm-hmm, Richmond has its own.
Yeah.
You need something in the middle and to like draw people in. I think this is like, we can be the macaroon spot. We can be the fusion spot.
Yeah, exactly. We want to be able to bring that. The whole goal for Sweet Basil Macarons was to bring that city vibe. You know, when you come in, I want you to look everywhere. I want you to be like, oh, wow. Like, you know, and then when you taste our desserts, it's like, oh, my God. You know, like, I really want it to be one full experience. So.
Definitely. I agree. So what do you think your mission in life is?
To be great. my mission in life, I don't know. I guess to be great. I mean, I kid when I say, I don't kid when I say I'm a perfectionist. You know, my mom says, she always says, I ask God for you to make you just the way you are. You know, and I live by that. You know, like my power, my attitude, everything, my goals, you know, is to be great. I mean, if you're just living life to be average, you know, your mission in life cannot be to live averagely. You know what I mean? I feel like my mission in life is to be great, to push myself to the limits, to see the things, to be able to accomplish the things that I didn't think that I would be able to accomplish 10 years ago. You know, to see myself where I'm at right now than where I was at 10 years ago, it's like, wow. You know, it's like, I'm great, you know? I'm very accomplished. And I'm very humble. You know, like, I don't post about my accomplishments. I don't, you know, talk about it often and stuff like that. You know, I'm very humble. And I see, like, on social media how other people have, like, you know, cutting ceremonies and, you know, grand openings and stuff like that. But I've never been that type of person. And I feel like I just need to celebrate myself a little bit more, because all I've been doing is working since I got out the military.
Literally, I feel like we would get along very well. I feel like we're very, like, because, like, literally, I feel like a lot of people, when they do those big ribbon cuttings and stuff, it's all about clout. Yeah, like, they're just trying to be like, look what I'm doing. Look at this. Exactly. Life is so great.
Exactly.
But have you, like, talked, like, I don't know, like, when was the last time Like some people actually checked in on them. Was like, oh yeah, life is great on Instagram, but like, how's life like going like in real life? Yeah, you know,
exactly. You so, know, and I don't like to get like really. I think my mission in life is to just really be myself, really show that aspect, you know, in real life and on social media. You know, this is what you see is what you get. You know, it's not, I don't sugarcoat anything for anybody, you know, and that's how I've always been.
No, I agree. That's the best, like, I feel like it's the best way to be. Like, cause like for me, literally went from high school, military, college, work, and then work, and then this year I took a sabbatical when I started the business and everything. So now I'm about to go do a full-time grad school with the business and everything to kind of like have a little bit of both. But I think for me, like the hustle for over like these past couple of years has probably just worn me out. Yeah. So that's why I need a vacation. Yeah. That's why I've been gone like literally half of July.
And that's how I feel too. It's like we have not stopped even during the pandemic. We just had to readjust and do things differently and stuff like that. And I think right now, at this moment in time in my life, I think my mission in life is to be intentional, you know, intentional with my time, intentional with everything I do, you know, and give it my all. And also create that space where I can, you know, depend on my employees and depend on my husband to be there for me and just really... just really be intentional, you know?
No, I agree. I feel like intentionality is one of the lost things in life. I feel like social media is kind of taken away.
Yeah, it has. I mean, and I post on social media, we post on our business and stuff like that, but it's like, oh my God, it's such hard work. Like, to be a content creator and a business owner and a pastry chef, and it's just like, wow, like it's crazy.
I don't know how you do it. You're a crazy woman.
I don't know how I do it either, but it's like I create those times, you know what I mean? Like I create my personal space, I create that self-care time, you know what I mean? So it's like, and I tried to tell my husband, no, we're not answering emails on Sunday. We're not doing that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just something that you have to be willing to do and to set those boundaries, you know, because then people think you're available 24/7. It's like, no, ma'am.
No, we're not.
I have a life, you know. I also have a family, you know. So being very intentional right now is my mission in life.
That's a great mission. I feel like that's the best way to do it. What is something that you read or listened to that has inspired you lately?
I read this quote on Instagram yesterday. And it was about being intentional. And I feel like, you know, doing the things that... No, it was... let me look it up real quick. It was this quote that I copied down. I don't have it right now. But it basically said to create the life that you want, you know, set the goals in the morning, wake up in the morning, set a routine, set those, the life, set it up where you're living the life that you want to live. That was basically what the quote was. And it was like, wow, you know, like, I got this home. I created this beautiful home for my family. I've created this beautiful space for my son to be able to play. You know, I've created this beautiful garden for me to see my seeds grow, you know, and I'm living the life that I worked so hard to create, you know. So that quote really set with me yesterday, because it's like when you're hustling and bustling and trying to get to where you want to be, you know, you're finally there. And it's like, you don't have that time to pause and really think and look around and say, oh, wow, like I really did it. You know, I'm really living it. You know what I mean? So that quote really resonated with me yesterday.
Definitely. So what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs?
What advice? You have to want it. You have to love it, because to be honest, if I didn't love what I do, if I didn't love standing 16 hours a day and making macarons and making desserts, you know, I wouldn't be successful. And you have to love it. You have to love waking up early in the morning and creating stuff. So I feel like with any entrepreneur, if you're putting yourself out there with anything that you do, just love what you do. Don't do it because you're getting money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the goal, to make money off of it. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But do it because you love it. You know, it's authentically you, you know? And just, I think, seeking advice on finances. That's another big thing. I think, because if I didn't, trust me, if Randy wasn't in the picture and I was trying to do this on my own, you know, Sweet Basil will be happening 2 to 3 years from now and not how fast it, I mean, we've been in this for 4 years. So if it wasn't for him and teaching me about finances, and I think that we wouldn't be where we are right now. So I think reading up on finances and loving what you do and being authentically you is something that I wish that people would have told me when I first started, you know, and not just trying to make a dime.
Exactly. I totally agree. I feel like finances are the most underrated part of entrepreneurship. Everyone's like all excited about starting a business. Like, let's do it. Go, go, go. But there's the back end of it. You have to make sure you can operate.
Yeah. You got to make sure your overhead is good. You're not in the red, you know, and it's just like, everything might look good, you know, but it's like, are you making it? You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be ready for those days where you're barely making it and those days where you're booming. You know what I mean? Because it's like a roller coaster, you know? So you gotta be prepared for that. And if you're not, it's like, of course, you're always gonna be living day to day if I'm gonna make it or not. Is my business gonna make it or not? You know, so having that background and being financially savvy and just basically being financially literate, you know, is like, would be a blessing, you know what I mean? Because I feel like if you're not, then it's like, you should find somebody that's gonna help you and give you that
exactly advice, you know. Exactly. Because find your other half.
Find your other half. Exactly. Find your Randy.
Exactly. Find the Randy. If you don't get anything for this episode, find your Randy.
Find yourself a Randy. Definitely. Yeah, for real. And that is for real, because I feel like when you start something, because my husband, he doesn't bake. This is not his line of work. You know what I mean? He's a tech guy and he loves finances. That's what he loves. He loves the stock market. You know, he's always on his phone looking at stocks and stuff like that. So that's what he loves to do. And so like when we came together in this, it was like, how are we going to do this? Like, how are you going to differentiate your life? And how am I going to differentiate my life, my career? You know, so the simple fact that we work together so great, you know, and we feed off of each other has kept this business going.
All right. Time to move on to our rapid fire questions. Okay. What's the best joke you ever heard?
Oh, man. It's a joke my nephew told me years and years ago, but I don't remember it. I mean, he's... You know, kids are funny, so he says a lot of things, but he's a funny guy. My nephew Caleb. I don't remember the joke, to be honest.
Okay, awesome. Next one, rapid fire. If you're an ice cream flavor, what would you be and why?
Oh, chocolate chip mint, because that's my husband's favorite.
Oh, okay. What's the funniest thing that happened to you recently?
I don't know. I really haven't had anything funny happen to me lately, to be honest. I have a 3-year-old stepson, and a 4-year-old stepson, sorry. And he is hilarious. Like, every day he's coming up with new things. So, you know, Randy will be working at the shop, closing up, and I'll be here with him at home. And he'll just be coming up with random things. And, you know, he's hilarious. So, but nothing...
That's funny.
Nothing funny that has happened to me personally, but just having funny experiences within my family has brought me joy.
Okay. What is your hidden talent?
My hidden talent? I love interior design.
Really?
Yes.
Like Chip and Joanna kind of status?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah. We bought this house foreclosure 2017. And it does not look anything that it looked like before. Maybe just the kitchen, but like I love design as my hidden talent. If you look at the shop, every little detail, that's all me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What makes you smile?
Life. Living life. Coffee in the morning.
Hey, yeah. Coffee's important. You already know that.
Coffee in the morning, that makes me smile. Like, don't talk to me before I haven't had my first sip of coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that was literally me yesterday because I went to this Cuban restaurant down in Tampa, and I was like, don't talk to me until I have my cafe con leche.
Exactly. Yeah, don't talk to me until I have my coffee. And we have an espresso machine now, so we're real bougie right now.
Oh, bougie life.
I love coffee. You know, growing up Puerto Rican in Boston, you have coffee with every meal.
Oh, yeah. Same thing as a Haitian growing up. Yeah. You get coffee. I remember, like, especially when my grandma was here.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
used to put coffee, milk.
Yeah. You want some coffee after that meal? It's like, oh,
okay. But, oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. I didn't know we had so much in common.
Yeah.
We literally came from the same area.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? The world is so small.
I know. Oh, man, I'm definitely have to come by and get some macaroons this week.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have a lot of new flavors. We got cinnamon honey butter, trying out a raspberry lime one this week. Yes, matcha blueberry if you're into matcha.
I'm not really into matcha, more, but I'll try it. I'll try everything once.
Tell everybody. Yeah, exactly. Try it once and you never know. You might fall in love with it. Everybody sees matcha and it's like, ew. But it's good.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're amazing. You and Randy are the greatest team here. Keep killing it. Sweet Basil, take over the world. Take over Fred.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Pineapple Lives Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great day.